From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast. Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. Now, here's your host and bud tender, Gary Johnston.
And thank you once more for coming back to the Cannabis Podcast. Here we are in episode number 90. Appreciate you coming back each time. If this is your first time, well, an especially warm welcome. And I suspect we may have a few first-time visitors this time around who are tuning in for the veteran farmer story, which is coming up later. So welcome to you as well. Just a reminder, this show is intended for those 19 or older in your jurisdiction and is intended for entertainment purposes only. You should always consume your cannabis responsibly. I talked today with Mitch Grant, who is the PEI rep of an organization that I reference called The Veteran Farmer. He contacted me through Facebook a little while ago, and I think the story of what they do really needs to be told. They assist veterans, first responders, and others to deal with life's trauma using cannabis as an assist. We also have a story that refutes the validity of mold in a canopy grow room. On Cultivar Corner, we stop for some pink baba from Wagner's, and we're going to finish off with a story about growing some cannabis just for deer. All of that and more on episode 90 of the Cannabis Podcast. And before we get too far along, let me thank some sponsors. Thank you to Randy. Randy bought me a doobie. I appreciate it, dude. Also, a big, huge thank you and a welcome to Jordana, who I talked about last week. Well, she was so impressed she became a member and bought me a couple of doobies. Welcome along for the ride, Jordana. She, along with JS, now has access to videos for all the Cultivar Corners, plus unreleased Cultivar Corners, and gets early notice of what's coming up. You can participate too if you feel like it. buymeacoffee.com/cannabispodcast. If you like what you hear and you feel so inclined, you can always buy me a doobie. Now, let's get to the first story of the day. And for that, we're going to mjbizdaily.com and another story by Matt Lamers, who we've talked about before. You may have seen some pictures floating around social media in the last few weeks about some growing in a purported canopy growth grow room. Well, that's what this story is about. An executive at Canadian licensed producer Canopy Growth acknowledged that images circulating on social media depicting cannabis plants laden with powdery mildew were taken at its facility in Smith Falls, Ontario. However, Mario Castillo, vice president of manufacturing, said the photos are not representative of Canopy's cultivation operations. He said the plants depicted in the images had already been slated for destruction after an irrigation system failure in a small number of rooms. There are quite a few fairly upset cultivation employees in our Smith Falls facility because it is a photo taken completely out of context. We had an irrigation system failure on December 25 and 26, Castillo said in a phone interview. Castillo said the plants would not have passed the company's quality assurance standards before being shipped for sale to consumers. It's unfortunate that the release of the pictures reflects on the rest of our employees, who do a great job in our facilities and who didn't particularly like that was put out there, out of context, for people to think that's the quality of work that they do, he said. The canopy executive said the company does not have a disproportionate problem with mold at its Canadian marijuana greenhouses. However, Castillo said occurrences of mold are part of running a large cannabis company. Is it normal to have a crop that does suffer from powdery mildew every once in a while? For sure, that's part of this industry. And anybody that tells you they've never dealt with powdery mildew just hasn't grown cannabis, he said. There is a lot more to this story, and you're welcome to dive into it yourself. The link you will find back at cannabispodcast.com. But the point that I wanted to make in bringing up this story is that those awful-looking plants that were circulating on social media a few weeks ago, apparently the cause of that was a mechanical failure in a grow room.
From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
You may or may not have noticed that it's been a while since there's been an interview on the Cannabis Podcast. There's been no particular reason for that. I didn't decide that I was suddenly not doing interviews anymore. I guess I just didn't have any lined up, and perhaps, honestly, I was being a bit lazy. Well, that laziness is finished, because I was approached for a couple of interviews, actually, coming up on the next couple of episodes. We're going to start with this one. And today we're talking about an organization spread right across Canada that is doing lots of work for veterans, first responders, and others who have had some trauma and issues in their life that cannabis can help with. It's the Veteran Farmer. To find out more, you can go to their website at theveteranfarmer.ca, or if you want detailed information, send a note to info@theveteranfarmer.ca. Today we're going to talk to Mitch Grant, who is the director of the PEI office for the Veteran Farmer. And I think you're going to be fascinated by what the organization is doing and how they may be able to help you or perhaps someone else in your life. We pick up the conversation just after I've asked Mitch how his cannabis journey began.
I started with cannabis just over 3 years ago at the Veteran Farmer. It's a bit of a funny story. I grew up very much under the stereotype of what cannabis was and didn't really want much to do with it. I had some friends who had parents who had issues with different drugs at the time, and I kind of lumped it all in at the same. Fast forward 20 odd years, and I'm out of the Army and trying a bunch of different medications and trying a bunch of different therapies, but nothing's quite floating right. Nothing's really clicking well. There's a lot of side effects to a lot of the pharmaceutical medications. And quite often you hit a point where you start taking medicine for medicine. But I was still very not big on cannabis at the time, to the point where my wife and I, in March of 2017, went to Jamaica. And my wife at the time was saying, hey, why don't you try it while we're here, right? It's easy to try here, kind of harm-free as long as we're here, right? Like something goes wrong, we'll deal with it. I was still so against it. That was March 2017, right? You fast forward 6 months from that point to the late September timeframe, 2017, and a good friend of mine had gone out to the Veteran Farmer, started using cannabis, and I saw immediate and drastic changes for the better in his ability to handle things. And so under my wife's kind of pleading, I went out. The state I was in, I earned the lovely nickname of Sketchy. And by October 17th of 2017, right? I got my prescription that day. So the day went legal, I got my prescription, and I had never really been using it much before. And Autumn and the team at the Veteran Farmer took the time to really low and slow introduce me to cannabis, to educate me on the whole spectrum. And I quickly went from using a 3 gram a day prescription that is available through veterans for certain ailments. But as I said, I've been on pharmaceuticals for a while, and come early 2018, those pharmaceuticals were having a really negative cumulative effect on me. And so I had to do a crash come off. And cannabis and how it affects your endocannabinoid system is actually how I dealt with all those massive pharmaceutical withdrawal effects, right? And then with your education and the use of a whole spectrum cannabis, right, you even taper off of maybe that usage amount. So like when I came off all those heavy doses, it was quite difficult. I was using easily a half ounce a day, and that includes is in edible and pretty much any way you can get it on you, edible, topical, and smoking, right? So, or vaping, or again, the Veteran Farmer is very big on that whole spectrum concept. There is something for everybody in it, right? Like in.
Well, I'm glad the circle brought you here, Mitch. It seems like it was destined to be, and it took a few years to get to there. So give us a sense of your veterans experience, if you don't mind sharing some of that. No, what got you to that state?
Mine is not as flashy as most would kind of say. I was hurt at home, or I suffered an injury or a bit of a breakdown at home, and I'm fortunate to have the same benefits as a lot of other veterans. I was 8 years as an artillery officer, primarily stationed in Gagetown in different roles, troop commander, adjutant, operations officer, course instructor, things like that. very busy, kept up with it. And then just some other things in life happened and an injury came in, just like anybody else on disability at work, right? And so I kind of tried to integrate back to civilian life for a number of years. It didn't go well. And again, that link to the veteran farmer really was a lifeline for me and all the social supports it offers. But also just in how to medicate properly, right? And how to really integrate it into your life in more than just those kind of stereotypical ways, and why it works, which really for somebody who's not necessarily as familiar with the recreational side of things really goes a long way to easing those tensions, right?
Yeah, I bet. Well, thank you for your service. I appreciate the fact that you spent all that time in the armed forces, and you know, we would all have a lot of trouble if there were people like you doing your job in that, Mitch. So thanks for so much for that. So let's get to the Veteran Farmers, organization that you first contacted me about. And I know it was Autumn Farmer that started it with her husband. Why don't you give us a brief summary of what that story is, Mitch, and how they actually got it started?
Yep. So Autumn Farmer is the director of the Veteran Farmer. It was established in 2016, and they opened their location, built it in 2017. It was built because as Lloyd transitioned out of the military, Autumn was very much aware that there was no support at that point in time. He was a vet of the 80s and 90s. And so there really was nothing there. And it was a huge challenge. And you don't have to look far in media to see statistics of what happens with a lot of veterans, with their health, with the health of their families. It's definitely the buzz, or had been pre-COVID in the media for a while. It's not an easy transition. And so that is why Autumn and Lloyd really, well, specifically Autumn, wanted to start this program. So like I said, they opened up their full location just there in March 2017, which put me in some of the early clientele for the farmer. And since that point now, they have a facility in Belleville that opened up in 2018. They have a facility in St. John's that opened up in early 2021. One in Edmonton as well that just opened up in 2021. Myself here, I'm PEI. And then Halifax is opening up within the next 2 months, and there will be a facility opening up in the province of Quebec, but they're not disclosing the exact location at this moment. So,
okay. Fascinating. Yeah. And so it's growing, and I understand there's some BC entries coming soon.
Yep, there has been some look at moving some out that way. It's a matter of locations and markets. Obviously, there is a couple of bases there. Usually, they try, if you look outside of myself, a lot of the locations are near bases, right? Belleville, Trenton, New Brunswick, Gagetown, Edmonton, CFB Edmonton, right? So Vancouver, there are obvious locations because those are where there's going to be a higher concentrations of veterans who are the primary client. The Veteran Farmer is open to veterans and first responders at no membership fee, civilians at a $100 one-time processing fee for membership. But really their primary clientele, their primary role is as a transition service to really help veterans move from that high-intensity life of being a soldier or being a first responder into that civilian role. And cannabis, Autumn has found cannabis walk hand-in-hand in that transition.
Wonderful. So, right. so take me through the steps. I'm a veteran coming along and I contact you about some services. What kind of steps do we go through and what services do you provide?
So when you enter the door at the Veteran Farmer, you're going to be greeted by somebody. Usually there's a veteran volunteer on staff, not staff, but like just who's filling a role. They're there having some coffee. They might be helping out with something, and they're there just to kind of chat and kind of see where you're at, and they'll guide you to if you weren't picked up right away by the secretary or nurse on staff or administrative assistant, sorry. And they will go through a quick indoc with you, and that's going to be getting your tombstone data. One of those important things is, do you have a awarded conditions from Veterans Affairs, right? That that can get you that cannabis prescription, or that they'd give a cannabis prescription for your PTSDs, your depressions, your major pains or breakdowns, like physical breaks, things like that. There's obviously other conditions out there, and the medical process is very complicated like for how they assess it. But we go through that. We put their information in the system. There are weekly clinics now where you will have a first appointment, and that will be an initial assessment. And then you'll have a second appointment, and that will be your actual talk with the doctor, where you will then get your prescription. And within 7 days, usually from walking through that front door, you should be able to place your first orders with a medical LP somewhere in Canada.
Okay. And so you provide the prescription. It's still up to the client to make that connection back to the LP.
No. So we give them the medical documentation. The veteran farmer has a few partners, and they have recommendations based on previous experience, obviously, any business would, but they will help forward that information off to the LP you'd like to use. So if you have pre-existing knowledge, you'd want to say go with Aphria or some or Tilray, right? You had tried some of their recreationally and you were now coming that way. Well, then they'll forward it that way, right? But there could be other, there's obviously a lot of medical providers out there right now, the big ones being Spectrum and Aphria, right? A few years ago, that used to be quite a few more, but...
I bet. And it's an ever-changing landscape and still is. And I don't know if you heard, there was one provider out here, Shelter Market, just closed down this last week.
I'm sorry to hear that. No, and I mean, yeah. You cover that quite a bit in your show, obviously, right? Like that changing retail landscape and producer landscape. So yeah, we take that snapshot. You'll get your order. And very early on, so things have changed in the era of COVID, but the typical way this would happen is you would come in during business hours, after you've got your prescription, then you'd sit you down. And even if you wanted to for your very first prescription, and this is what I did, right? I had no experience in this. So they walked me through, okay, they got me through that, got me my prescription. And as soon as I could order, they took me to the LP site and they said, okay, we're going to teach you how to make your own medicated oil. And to make this kind of oil, you're going to want this kind of medicine, this kind, this kind. Now, because of the medical cycle, we'll try and get something for you to inhale or smoke or vaporize, and that will be kind of whatever else you want, right? We can play with that. But the big one was, they'll tell you what you need to order your first couple of times to try and guide you through that oil. Because part of that process is after you've placed that order, you're going to come in and you're going to do a class, or the application is now launched for members. And that application or in that class, they'll show you, first off, why full spectrum medication works. There's a few really good examples they use. A porcupine that can't, endocannabinoid system effectively gets to a porcupine that can't get its quills back. Cannabis is one of those ways that we can really reinflate those quills. It relates to a lot of things from a full spectrum perspective, in that cannabis isn't about the take two, call me in the morning method, right? Everybody needs a slightly different dose, a slightly different relationship with the medicine. And so they'll walk you through why that is, right? How that works. And then they'd say, here is a basic ratioed whole spectrum oil. We'll concentrate that ratio on the three most easily accessible cannabinoids, usually THC, CBD, and CBNs, because they're effectively just stale THC, right? And kind of how you can ratio those out. Now, if you're putting whole bud into that, and they explain like this is why it's so much better. It's so much more effective. Of course, the entourage effect comes in there. And this happens over 2 to 3, maybe even 4 classes as you're learning how to make your own oil, why it works. And then you would come back in over time. Like I said, the cannabis walks hand in hand with the transition, and the transition is really the big service. So you're going to keep coming in, you're going to ask questions, and that's the goal, right? You're going to, okay, how did this ratio of oil work for you, right? Okay, let's work in it this way. But also, as you're coming in, they're getting to know your family, what's going on in your life. Do you need aid getting to financial aid services? How's your grocery? How are your kids? Do you need financial counseling? Do you need to speak to a counselor? These all become part of the veteran farmer family, right? As you go through this education process, right? And there's other services offered. The New Brunswick facility is my example, as the biggest one, right? Or the primary one is, there's Wednesdays you can come in and there's just drop-in open mic music, come in and jam, right? They'll do Thursday night social nights where you come out and play darts, or they'll have a bingo night. They'll have art nights for people who want to come out and do that. There's scholarships they offer, sports scholarships, private fishing teams, the veteran children athletes, so the children of veterans who are competing and they might need a scholarship to do a sport. There's the Teal Poppy support program, which is there for families in need. I can say my own family, we suffered a house fire. During my journey with the veteran farmer, we suffered a house fire and ended up becoming a recipient of the Teal Poppies Fund because there was just that point where insurance wasn't lining up and they were there. They kept the lights on at Christmas for us. That's huge, right?
Yeah, I totally understand that. Well, I'm really impressed with how broad the scope of what you're doing for the veterans and tying that all in and making sure that you're taking care of their emotions and their family as well as their medicine. Fabulous. So what's been one of the biggest challenges for you in getting this going from your perspective, Mitch, and getting started in PEI?
Getting started on PEI, you'll appreciate this, I'm quite sure, but it's the old stereotypes.
The stigma.
The stigmas around it. The island specifically has some of the rules are a challenge to get around. As a medical user, I can order a concentrate cartridge from any of the medical providers, right? But if I don't buy my vape pen from them, or if my vape pen I bought from them dies, I can't get a replacement on the island, like a 510 thread, right? Now, that's a personal issue, but it can also be a barrier to entry because those are such a discreet way to medicate. So my barrier to entry is really overcoming those stigmas. The rural nature of PEI obviously is a challenge as a business to reach out. I'm located principally on the west end of the island, and that's why my service, say, versus Belleville's, New Brunswick's or Edmonton's is listed as mobile. I recognize there's quite a separation on the island. Even though it's a small area, because it's a smaller area, people are able to live more remotely and still access services, kind of. And so that requires a little bit more travel, a little bit more movement, and just really breaking into that market and dealing with that stigma is the big one. But a lot of people just don't know it's available. And like I said, like I just started, COVID's obviously a challenge. You're trying to get people to come in to meet, to do that social side, which is really a huge part of it. But yeah, no, it's being received so far fairly well. Every time I talk about it, one of the advantages, I've talked to locals, and one of their fears is in a smaller community, of course, rumor mill moves a little faster and you get seen going to like a cannabis store, right? I have a very remote location and I'm from away, so I don't have the connections to be like, oh, did you know so-and-so was doing this, right? Like, I'm a very neutral, safe place.
Okay.
So people can come and ask, and there's no link to kind of old skeletons, as it were, or what's going on. It's just a completely safe place. And that's what I like to be able to offer. I am always terrified when I hear, oh, my grandmother wanted to try for medical for this and she went to the store and all I can do is take a deep breath because I know the horror story already coming, right? And I mean, that's not all we do. One of the things I can do here too is just helping people learn to grow better and more healthy cannabis, right? That is part of our services as well. And so the island, I've noticed there's a decent recreational market, but most of it seems to be put four plants out back in a whole bunch of horse manure, right? And let her go, which is, it's great. They're getting stuff from that. But the ability to really teach how to grow indoors, to have control, to really have healthy, safe medicine, how to deal with pests, right? How many times you hear people come in and they've got 2-3 feet tall plants, but they're the same size as a pencil and they've got one little nugget of bud on the top. And the first thing you said is you grew a Miracle-Gro, didn't you? Right. And everybody says yes.
Yeah. So you help with that too. You help with growing advice and along the way.
Yes. So again, with that education, right? So it used to be Educate, Medicate, and Grow were some of the lines. This is one of their older hoodies and it has it on the back. And that was really a big part of it is if you're going to do a whole spectrum medication, most people who get a prescription can't get enough of a prescription to actually cover what they really need, right? To make enough oil, to cover enough smoke, whatever else you need, because there's a balance. It equates really well to insulin use in that your edible or your oil becomes your long, slow curve, right? To create a baseline, and your smoke or your vape becomes your spike, right? So you have your oil kind of say three times a day and double it at bedtime, and that gives you a baseline. And then, oh no, my door was just frozen shut, right? Have a smoke to help kind of bring that back down. And there's a lot of links to that with alpha waves in the brain and stress and stimulation and things like that. Cannabis being an alpha wave inhibitor. And quite literally, it actually brings a lot of us back down to a normal speed and frame of reference, right? But so to say that, like, to achieve that, you really do need to be able to grow and to be able to grow well and healthy. And so the veteran farmer at most locations has their grow line. They have a line of nutrients specifically formulated for better growth in veg, then better growth in flower, as well as boosters for calcium, for potash, sweetener, which has a whole lot of like maple syrup and things like that in it to really bring out that smell and that pungency. And they'll take the time to teach you how to, like, if you ask or if you are interested, they'll take the time to teach you this is how you properly pH. These are the tools that will really go a long way to aid you. And that it doesn't need to be this overwhelming, daunting task, right? I grew my first plants in our house and I got over an ounce off each plant.
Good for you. That's a good bounty for first time.
Yeah. Like, and that's just using what I'd picked up through osmosis through years. Cause that's what it was for me, is it ended up just being a bunch of years consecutively of going, being that veteran volunteer, learning and being there in that transition mode. And now I am young enough and in a place enough that I can give back myself. So
good for you. Now, was that a Mighty that I see you using there? Storz & Bickel Mighty?
Yeah, I have a Storz & Bickel Mighty I'll use from time to time, especially indoors in a storm, or I've got my Volcano next door, but I'm a joint guy, so.
Yeah, I thought I recognized the device. So let me finish up, Mitch, with my hot seat questions to get a sense of your cannabis journey and where we are. So do you have a favorite cultivar?
No, and for probably a good reason. Again, from a medical perspective, you end up becoming effectively immune after a certain point of time, after a certain amount of use of a certain cultivar, its effects will slowly decrease.
Yeah, and that's the way for everybody. Mm-hmm.
But it's even more so in a medical. So, like, if you are only using recreationally, where you might only use, say, a gram a day or every 2 or even 3 days, right? Versus if you're medical and you're using 3 to 10 to 15 grams a day, you'll hit that cap point a lot faster.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So I have more than one. I have a few. I'm definitely partial to Rockstar, simply because it's my wife's favorite. It's one of those ones I can pull out when I need to.
Yeah, nice.
But otherwise, Moby Dick, maybe. I like that one.
That's fine. And I appreciate the context there too, because it does make sense. And I totally get it. I'm always telling people, if they keep continuing to smoke the same cultivar, it's going to lose its effect. And if your receptors get bored, they need to be woken up a little bit. So do you prefer joints or vape?
I'm a joint guy. It's, again, when it comes to use, vape is great. It's for flavor. You can't beat it. I love the efficiency of it because you can immediately turn your ABV into effectively cannabis flower. But if you're using that volume, if you're using that consistently, you just can't stay on top of keeping it clean, right? Meanwhile, because on the island, you can have, medically speaking, the rules for having a joint fall under the rules. As long as you're not doing it on a highway on PEI, they fall under the rules for smoking a cigarette on PEI. So it's just as easy for me at, say, a hotel to walk out to a smoke pit, which is, I know this is amazing in this day and age compared to, say, even 10 years ago. I just walk out to the smoke pit and I light up a joint, smoke it, I'm done. I put it out in the butt stop and walk inside, right?
Yeah, there are many areas in BC where it's the same way. In fact, our airport, you can go outside and smoke a joint with the people who are sitting out there smoking their cigarettes. So it's nice to see that.
But that is one of the things that where they haven't taken as much time to regulate it. If I can get people to realize that, I can help deal with the stigma on the island too, right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
It doesn't need to be that there. So.
And now I know from a medical perspective, you are using, as you say, the full spectrum of the different consumption methods. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference for edibles or flower?
For overall effect, I really prefer edibles. It's a much more challenge to get a really good net made out of edibles to cover all of your issues. But I notice for what ails me, like I'm not using it. I do use it as an aid. Once I hit that medicated point, I can use it as a bit of an aid when I'm playing guitar or something, but.
Yeah. It's more for the medical aspect from your perspective.
Using it for the medical aspect, that edible gives me a lot longer range. So I'm not as reliant on needing to go out for a smoke ever so often, right? Like if you're using cannabis, but you need to use so much that you're going out like a pack a day smoker anyways, right? You're not really getting your life and your freedom back. But again, you fall into that trap that it's really, really easy. I travel a lot. It's really easy to roll 20 joints if you have to for a bunch of days and just go, right? And then say, take a bottle of just plain old fashioned oil. I make my oil actually in natural peanut butter. So like people will see me on the side of the road having a spoon of peanut butter, right? But again, it comes into just ease of use, right? Sometimes is what one of the big challenges is in really showing people how easy it is to medicate. And for me, for use and taking and what affects what I like to do.
Well, thanks so much for the time today, Mitch. You've given me a real understanding of what the Veteran Farmer is all about and really impressed with what your organization is doing and how you continue to grow and help the veterans get their lives back. And using cannabis to help them do that. It's a fascinating story. So thanks for joining me today. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Any last words from you?
Thank you very much. I do want to point out, like, we are focused on veterans, but it is a great service for civilians, just from like a perspective, if I may. If you're using it on a regular daily basis anyways, and you're spending the money on a daily basis, you can go get that prescription for that will cover your daily basis. And now you can claim that as insurance as a medical expense at the end of the year, as long as you provide get it through a licensed medical provider. And I mean, they're shipping in a day or two. You can go online, order anything you want. Plus, you can still pursue that education. So there is, it does help a lot of civilians as well, just a slightly different process. I want to say personally, like I said before, thank you for putting on an awesome podcast. I really do enjoy listening to it.
But you have intrigued me about joining the organization as a civilian and taking advantage of some of the services that may be there. I may pursue that a little bit more.
That would be phenomenal if that was able to help you or to aid you in your journey at all. And it is. There's a lot that's available, like just the ability to really capitalize on what a whole spectrum of medication looks like, from smoke to oil to concentrate to edible to topical, and what that can do for you in transitioning into that next phase of your life. And then the social supports themselves are just, they're absolutely phenomenal. What the Veteran Farmer can provide for people, for spouses, for transitioning members is just, I tried to go over it, but there's years worth of stuff available.
So. Of course there is. Well, thanks for sharing your story with me today, Mitch. I really appreciate it. And I hope you're not affected by the storm that's headed your way.
Well, I think it's hard to see across the road now, but I'm right up by the water. So,
well, good luck with that today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. Take care, Gary.
THC, CBD, terpene profiles. What's in me? Oh, please explain to me. Cultivar Corner. Cultivar Corner. Oh yeah. Cultivar Corner. Please explain this stuff to me.
On Cultivar Corner today, we're going to the Tri-Cities area of Ontario for some Wagner's weed. Wagner's well-made weed, in fact. What are we doing? We are doing Pink Bubba. Any idea what that might be a cross of? Bet you do. How about Pink Bubba and Bubba Kush, or rather Pink Kush and Bubba Kush? That's what we're doing today. It has some notes of pine and some earthiness associated to it. Pump this container out. Of course, I have already done my work. I've already got my joint ready. These bags still bug me sometimes. But I got it open. Hooray, hooray, I did it. Oh, yeah. Lots of really pine notes. And much of that earthiness. So, on the package, tells me we are THC at 21.1%. It's not indicating any of the terpenes. The package date was back in September of 2021. So it's about 3 months old. No terpenes on the package. Do we have terpenes on the website? Let's take a peek. So I've got the weed. Well, first of all, let's give you a bit of background on Wagner's weed. When it comes to growing well-made weed, what matters most is the weed. Wagner's exist to work hard and cut through the noise. So plant their stake in the ground and grow well-made weed. It's indoor grown by Wagner's. Planting their first seeds in the Tri-Cities, they sought to grow weed well. For Wagner's, growing in a climate of high heat and freezing temperatures demands a finely tuned indoor grow. Their seroponic system has been tested time and time again as they've discovered the path to well-made weed. We all appreciate a toke or two for different reasons. At the end of a long day, maybe the beginning of an exciting one, or often just to take the edge off. There's nothing worse than rolling a joint, sparking it up, and being let down. We put our heart into every flower we grow. Regardless of the occasion, Wagner's is there for you to get the job done and leave you feeling satisfied. Well, now I think it's our job to make a judgment of that. Oh, yeah. Definitely lots of piney notes there. And some of that earthiness. So, do they give me the terpenes? Let me grab the page for Pink Bubba. And, alas, no. They're just giving me the aroma and the flavors. The aroma, that pungent earth and pine, which we've already picked up. The flavor, more of a floral and juniper. So, as I said, this is a cross of Pink Kush and Bubba Kush. Pink Bubba is the name, and the THC on this is at 21.1%. I already got my joint rolled. See, I can roll a fairly decent joint, nice and straight. No tip on it. I've never used a tip, and I don't think I'll even start now. And I'm already in the vaporizer, so let's turn that on. Get the Crafty Plus all ready to go. And before we have a taste, let's take a peek at the buds. So let me give you a bit more description of Pink Bubba. It's a cross between Pink Kush and Bubba Kush. The weed is a compact structure that shows stunning mint green and deep purple hues. Well, marketing teams are always pumping up their product, and I'm always challenging that. So let's take a peek. Now, as I look at it with my jeweler's loop, definitely lots of mint green. I'm not getting a lot of purple hues, at least in the bud that I have picked here. Now, okay, there's a bit of that. In terms of the trim, pretty good. There's a few sugar leaves, but we can't expect perfection after all. What about the trichomes? Trichome fields are fairly vast, and a lot of amber in this one as well. So that bodes well for how this may impact us on the smoke perspective. So as I said, I've already got the Crafty Pluses loaded. Let's fire up the joint of Wagner's Pink Bubba and see what that 21.1% THC does for us. Bright orange hairs, a thick coating of trichomes add texture and depth to this beautiful flower. Aromas of pungent earth and pine are predominant, and the smoke itself is smooth. Yeah, I can agree with that smooth smoke statement. A couple of hits off the joint. Crafty Plus is still warming up. Oh, look at that. Just signaled that it's ready to go, so I can truly become a two-fisted toker. I've talked about this before on the Cultivar Corner, and here we are again. My left hand has the joint, my right hand has the Crafty Plus, and away we go. Oh, always amazed at how much better it tastes through a vaporizer. Oh, that's good. Much more of the piney notes, much more of the earthiness, maybe some of those floral notes they talk about in the flavoring. hit the joint, hit the vaporizer, get the difference between the two tastes. Oh, and I feel a little bit coming on. Now, this is, I think, one of the current discussions in our industry. When we started this podcast, what, 3 years ago, average THC was probably between 15 and about 22%. That's no longer the case. This Wagner's Pink Bubba at 21.1% would be considered to be low on the THC scale. But for me, I'm hoping that the fact that I'm guessing that the terpenes involved are going to be some myrcene and some pinene, and those two generally bring me the happy eyes. So let's hope. I can feel a touch of them coming on now. Now, I don't expect this to be a wham, smacky in the face kind of a high at 21.1% because my tolerance is fairly high. Once again, I'm mused about whether a tolerance break would be worthy, but I wouldn't be able to produce the podcast for as long as that tolerance break was going on. It would seem disingenuous of me to be doing a podcast about cannabis while not consuming cannabis. But I digress, which could be an indication that high is coming on. Ah, and there they are. Can feel the happy eyes coming on now. Not really, really deep, but there. And the general easing attention. I wasn't expecting to be knocked on my ass with this one. And I'm happy to say I'm not. It's not knocking me on the floor really, really stoned. But it's a really, really pleasant high. And, well, in certain circumstances, this might end up with me on the couch watching a movie or two. I think today is just going to mean that I'm going to carry on and do some other stuff I got to get done. So if you haven't tried it yet, they are from the Tri-Cities area of Ontario. Wagner's Well-Made Weed is who we've been talking about. Pink Bubba is the cultivar. And as I say, it didn't get me super, super stoned, but it's a really pleasant high.
From the Cannabis Infused Studio in the Clouds, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
And as we come into February and March is getting closer, and that means April's going to be here and the growing season's going to start before you know it, it made me think about the only time that I ever tried to grow outdoors. It was with some friends in the Kootenays. We were living in Trail. And for some reason, I don't know why, we picked a plot of land that was just outside of Grand Forks. No, Christina Lake. Just outside of Christina Lake, which didn't make any sense because, as I say, we lived in Trail. Regardless, though, Bill and Maggie, those were my two partners in this grow operation. And I remember the day we headed out in a Datsun pickup truck. Had a rototiller in the back and some weak directions to this plot, which was just off the highway, literally visible from the highway, just coming out of Christina Lake as you're heading into Grand Forks. But we went out there and carved out our plot of land where we figured it would be a good, get good sun access. There was a few planes that flew over while we were in the process of staking out the land, and I remember I was diving into the bushes, trying to hide, didn't want to be seen as we were plotting out this land. Of course, back then, it was illegal to grow cannabis, so there was some understanding of why we might not want to get caught. And I'd never done it before. This was the first and only time that I'd actually participated in an outdoor grow. We got the land ready. No, we started from seed. So we did pop some seeds and put them in the ground. They seemed to take. We took turns being responsible for driving out there and taking care of some watering duties. And surprisingly enough, the plants actually started to grow and got to get some girth on them, which I was surprised by heck. I thought they would need a little bit more dedicated care to really grow some decent plants, but So we had been a few weeks into the grow now. The plants were well established. And myself and a friend went out to do some checking. We were well away from bud stage, but you know, there were substantial growth on it now. They were certainly into the veg state. And I'll never forget the look on, or the thought that crossed both of our minds as we came around the corner to where our plot was supposed to be. And there wasn't a plant in sight. It was gone. Not the plants were gone. The plants were still there. But they'd mostly been eaten. And all around the edge of the place where we had established the grow, there was these bent parts of grass where we figured the deer, after they ate the THC, and although there probably wouldn't have been too much THC in it, but anyways, where we figured they had a little nap after eating all of our cannabis. And that might have been the reason why that's the one and only time that I did an outdoor grow away from my house, and that required some mobility and some attention, and it turned out that I got absolutely nothing out of it. Quite disappointing. I'm hoping this year is not going to be disappointing. We're going to do autoflowers again, and this year I've decided to go the fertilizer route, and I am going the refertilizer route. If you haven't heard of refertilizer yet, it is a cannabis-specific three-step fertilizer program done by a couple of brothers, Mike and Joey Druin. And in fact, they're going to be my guests for an interview on the next episode of the Cannabis Podcast. And if you haven't heard it, they have one of the most clever songs done for legalization of cannabis in Canada. And we're going to play that on next episode too. That is coming up, as I say, next episode. That pretty well wraps it up for episode number 90. If you ever have any comments about anything you hear on the Cannabis Podcast, please send a note to info@cannabispodcast.com. Thank you so much for coming along for the ride. I really appreciate you being here. If you feel so inclined and you like what you hear, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/cannabispodcast and buy me a doobie. That wraps it up for episode 90 of the Cannabis Podcast.
From the Cannabis Infused Studio, high above the Okanagan Valley, this was the Cannabis Podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, host of Casually Baked, the podcast. If you're curious to explore the highly responsible side of cannabis, farming, and legalization, I'm here to help lighten the stigma and build your canna confidence. Download episodes now of Casually Baked, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And journey with me through the evolving cannabis culture and discover how and why people like you are adding cannabis to their wellness toolkit. It's time to get casually baked.